look at how nice you are coming in soft and gentle like that.
Yes, I'm being tender. This is my bedside manner.
That's what I need. You're so good at it. I just want people to talk to me in that soft voice.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Hi, friends. Take it easy today. Welcome back.
I'm back.
786. Yes. Delicious dish. We're on the air.
Yes.
Sarah is still convalescing. They took out her hysteria. And
don't make me laugh. That's a problem, is that I got to do the opposite of a belly laugh. I got to do like a in my chest laugh because it hurts. Oh, Susie, you're so funny. Yes, they took my hysteria out. If only.
They really need to rename it, number one. Let's put that in the old suggestion
All
box.
All the names, like even like dysthymia or dysmenorrhea. That's it. Dysmenorrhea is what like they...
And
like, that
frankly,
sounds...
Diarrhea
awful.
Needs to be renamed.
What you know what's funny is the Denver Airport's initials are DIA, and that's what you and I always called diarrhea.
Right.
So every time people are like, can you give me a ride to DIA? I'm like, okay, stop being hilarious.
It'll be a wet one. Right. That is so funny. And even in podcasting, the abbreviation for dynamically inserted ads is
DIA.
And every time Adam says it, I'm like, diarrhea.
I'm never going to be too
We're real
for
mature
that.
Over here.
So, yeah, I may be fully in menopause, but I have the sense of humor of a 15-year-old.
Right. Don't let the menopause yes. fool you. She's
yeah,
immature,
don't let the hot,
everyone.
The hot flashes and night sweats fool you. Oh,
all right.
Gosh.
So no pressure to share anything. But I open the floor if you want to.
Woo, baby. That was a doozy.
So to speak.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I kind of feel like after you've had, like, I've shown people the inside of my body, photos of the inside of my body, that, like, everything's on the table. And
do you think, though, that because Sarah did get these really cool, I mean, they are cool images of, like, what was inside and I don't know about for you, cause you're probably too close to the Monet, but for me, it's like, if that doesn't show you how like we're all the fucking same.
Oh, like for sure. And nobody can look at, and anybody who's like, oh, I'm so hot. Like, please, your appendix is average
it's
at
disgusting.
Best.
Disgusting. Yeah. 5 out of 10.
Yeah. And like, and who knows what's going on the inside. Right. I'm telling you, it's just hot hobbies. That's it. You can't have those for the inside of your body, except my liver did look very good. And they said
good.
That. And I was like,
I'll see
there
about
were,
that.
There were a few things that happened that were, it's funny what becomes a compliment in the hospital room. Like when they told me that I filled up two bags of liquid, you know, when I had to urinate and like they were like, wow, she's really hydrated. I was
Isn't
like,
that great? Yeah.
I know. Thank you so much. Like I'm hydrated. Yeah. And we're at altitude. Like, yeah, exactly.
And we're
I felt
altitude.
so proud of myself for the, and it could have been the, you know, saline that I got and the IV that I had beforehand, but you know, I'll take it where I can get it. But
you've been through
those
a
things
lot.
Were compliments. Yeah. It was very strange to go to bed not knowing what the outcome of a surgery was going to be. And then all things considered, I think I did a good job preparing for it mentally, but in the same way as grief and loss and all those kind of things hit us, you can only know so much about it or read so much about it or understand it. And even if you do, even if you know everything about it, read everything about it, understand it all, you cannot avoid the emotions that come with it. You're going to have to feel the emotions of loss or of change or of whatever it is. And it doesn't matter how much I know about these things or have talked about it. I still have to feel them. And feeling them is like the hardest part of being a person. Ugh, feelings.
Ugh. Yeah. Hypotheticals are very different. Yeah. Than the actuality.
Yeah. And here's what I regret. Here's what I've, or what I regret slash what I've learned and taken away from. I've learned so much, but one of the things that I really want to stress and really feel like I will not do this disservice to myself in the future. When people reached out and were like, I've had this surgery, like, you know, if Sarah wants to talk to me, I'd love to talk to her. I, in my mind, was like, I know about it. I read all about it. I might talk to my doctor. I went to the consultation. What's somebody else going to tell me that I don't know? How about fucking everything? That was my biggest mistake, is not talking to somebody. Had somebody, because there are things that in going through any sort of major surgery or any big life event, there's only so much that the quote unquote experts can tell you and inform you about. And that is their job to do, you know, like I needed somebody to say, you're going to need, and thank God for you brainiacs listening who sent me that care package, because it literally had every single thing that I needed in there to survive. And I have used every single thing. But when they say wear loose fitting clothes, they don't mean wear loose fitting clothes. They mean wear clothes that are four times bigger, four sizes bigger than your actual size. Actually, probably get new clothes or borrow some from somebody, because you will not fit into those same pants anymore. Get, you know, like little things like that, that you, they don't tell you buy a heating pad and get coloring books at the hospital. But those are the things that I needed the most and were really, you know, helpful. So I feel like I am going to listen to the people who have been through the things that I'm going through. And I don't know, like there's, that's like an okay thing to, I don't know why it's so hard for me to, like, it feels almost like I'm burdening somebody by letting them tell me what, like, give me advice. But then when I think about how I am in this situation, I would want to tell anyone who is going through this situation what they would need. And like, here's how to survive, because it is hard.
Well, part of it, and I don't know, but I imagine, is the case sort of like childbirth, where everyone's is different. And so like some people have horror stories, and then other people are like, yeah, she just fell right out of my body. And you're like, I hate you. Or, and maybe some people have a hysterectomy or an excision, and like they act like it's no big whoop. And then you have one and it's like, it was a whoop.
It was such a big whoop. So many whoops. Yeah. So that's so true. So individual. And everybody's, it is so different. Like what they take and what's going on in there and the recovery time and all that. Yeah, that is really true. And
like what your circumstances are at home too. Like if you have kids or if you don't have kids, or if you have a partner, if you don't have a partner. Forget it.
Right. Yeah. Like this would be impossible if you didn't have a partner, if you had kids and had to, like, no, this would be,
can't do this. There's so many variables.
So many. So I feel like yesterday I kind of turned a corner where I felt like it was the first time I could start doing some work and like start thinking about, you know, getting back to normal stuff. So yeah, we're on the mend. And then I'm like really excited about a life that's pain-free. And I felt very validated seeing all the pictures. And then when the doctor in the post-op goes like, yeah, this was really, really bad. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. So it wasn't just me.
Well, I remember right before your surgery, you had the irrational fear of being locked in. You thought you were going to be under anesthesia and that you would be awake, but they wouldn't know.
Yes.
Did that happen?
It did not happen. But I will say this. I have a bad reaction to a nerve, like pain medication they give you called gabapentin for a lot of people after surgery. They marked me down as like an allergy for it. Like, do not give her this, because it caused me to have sleep paralysis, where I was in a way locked into my body. And Eli next to me, Eli says that he heard me go,
That's and terrible.
In my mind, I was screaming, Eli, Eli, Eli. And he could hear me muffled and then woke me up. And it
that
was.
That is a horror movie.
So I did have that from that. But my anesthesiologist and the nurse and everybody put me at ease and said, these are not. It was like we all watched the same episode of Oprah where a person came on and talked about this and it got like stuck in my head that this happens. The anesthesia medication they have, stuff that they have now is a different, it's like new generation. It's not going to do that. They can monitor all of those things. And then afterwards, when I guess my brother heard the episode where I talked about that or heard that I was scared about that, he said I can't remember what he called them, but like retrograde amnesia effect or not, but like where you will forget.
Your body forgets even if it happened.
Yes. So even if it, he's like, even if it did happen, you are not, and he's right. I don't remember a fucking thing from many of the, I mean, I had to stay at the hospital an extra 3 days and it was, I don't remember a thing from being in like the first two days. No, I got like highlights of ice cream. And then never in my life have I ordered biscuits and gravy, but I ordered biscuits and gravy 3 days in a row from the cafeteria. Turns out Sarah in menopause loves biscuits and gravy.
she turns into a southern lady.
Yeah. Eli was like, you've never ordered that. Are you sure you're going to want that? And then he's like, that is not your style of food.
Sarah
and
got
then
it a
got
new
there and ate the whole thing. And he was like, okay, I stand corrected. You love biscuits and gravy. I was like, bro, this is so good. So, yeah.
Well,
shout
I know
out
one thing
to
that you
the
said,
USC hospital.
You told me that one thing that you helped you a lot was Liquid IV.
100%. Shout out to Liquid IV for keeping me going.
Shout out.
I mean, that's why I was so hydrated. I was, and afterwards, I really feel like that is the one thing I've not had to struggle with because I have been on a regular rotation. Strawberry is my current fixation flavor. And I just I've been enjoying them. When I first got back, it was lemon lime because it felt like, you know, it just felt
funny?
Like, I don't know, like medicinal in some way, but not really. Like it cured me. Like it feels like more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm on strawberry.
I'm so glad
and
that
I love
was
it.
Useful. Yeah, if whether or not you've had surgery, Liquid IV is great. If you're going to the gym, if you're just wanting to stay hydrated and don't like to drink a lot of water, it's great. Put the packet of flavoring into your regular glass and you'll hydrate faster. And then they have the zero sugar version as well if you want sugar free. And it has vitamins and nutrients in it. I'm sure it's been very helpful for Sierra. Weekends are for going wild. So if you're, you know, getting crazy, not like Sarah, have a game plan for Monday with Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code CANDY at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Superior Hydration today. Use promo code CANDY at liquidiv.com.
Yes.
You know what? It's another thing because you were talking
up,
about
right, but
how your brain like has this defense of forgetting things maybe sometimes that are painful.
Yeah.
It's like this weird survival thing, but it's like strange.
Totally.
I think that's another thing about, you'll be able to testify, like say in a year, whether like some of this acute feeling that you're having, not just physically, but emotionally will dissipate. And then your ability to share with somebody who's about to go through it might be muted because you'll think, that was difficult, but you might not really.
Totally. Yeah. And what comes from it is this, like what I, when I posted a video of me just like walking through the hospital, so many people said, oh, you're going to feel like I got this surgery a couple years ago and your life is going to be so good. Just wait till you're through it. Like this is going to be so amazing.
Cause they're on the other side.
Right. And I cannot, now I cannot actually. Now I know, now that I know what's going on internally, I cannot fathom a life without pain. Really cannot. I don't understand. Like it's going to feel like nothing and I'm going to need to like check my pulse. Like, wait, am I still alive? Cause I don't feel anything. Like I can't understand that. So I know that that is the gift that comes with it. So I think that is that thing where you forget the bad stuff because this good thing of a pain-free
life.
The
absence of suffering.
Absence of pain. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
Well, we'll wait for that, man.
I love being able to be like, I was right. I'm always right.
You do love that.
I fucking love it. And this is yet again another example of how I should trust my gut and I'm always right. And I said something was wrong a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
the end.
It's a sad thing to be right. Wouldn't you have loved to be wrong, though, in a way?
So much. So much love that. Yeah. And then I bet on myself being wrong.
Did you literally? You made a bet? Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, I would say like the amount of prep that I did around the house. Like if you're going to have major surgery or if somebody you know is going to have major surgery, set your house up for it. Make a little area. Recognize that you're probably not going to be able. I climbed 27 flights of stairs because in one day, like the day after my surgery, 2 days after my surgery, because that's where our bathroom is. And the only couch I could lay on was downstairs. And like, not ideal. Should have set myself up a little closer to the bathroom, like made, you know.
Right. These are things planned. For your next.
Bought some clothes that fit me, you know. Again, thank you, Brainiacs, for that.
What a great group. They
I know.
They really showed you love. That is so nice.
They sure did.
We're very lucky.
And I really, I really am. It's so wonderful. And I really saw in this experience the importance of a lot of things that I maybe know on the surface are nice and make people feel good and are good for you. But now I understand the effects of these things on a deeper level. And these things are balloons and get well cards and little messages that say like, you've got this, you know, those things and like adult coloring books. These things were like, these are items of even like self-care tools that I have assigned to clients before and said, oh yeah, you know, use this for relaxation. But you say it, but you don't really understand maybe why it works. And when you are staring at the same spot on the wall for 3 weeks, having a funny card or a colorful balloon or a plant is so helpful to your mental health and well-being, and a little reminder to just change the things we look at impact our thoughts. And they're things that I didn't really experience on that deep level until going through this. And like when I couldn't have a routine don't have a routine where like, I didn't go outside for freaking like 2 weeks until I could like really walk around. Car rides, not a thing. So I said, I have to come up with a routine for myself. So I would like, I'm wearing Crocs around the house because it like hurts to walk on hardwood floor for a long time without some padding. So I'm wearing my Crocs and like every day I'm like, I went and bought some more Croc charms because like every day, one of my routines is I got to make some decisions. Decisions make my brain feel good. And so much is out of my control in this situation that I got to make some decisions. So let's decide which Croc charms and change them up every morning. And that's my first thing morning routine. And then I'm, you know, make my coffee and or my tea. And that's my morning routine and, you know, whatever, like you have to like come up with a routine. And then I like do my little coloring book and there's something about deciding, you know, I can't decide a whole bunch today, but I can decide what colors I'm going to color this little section on the coloring book. That does something to make my brain feel accomplished. When I finish that, I'm like, it serves the same, it's scratching the same itch in the same like intensity as like getting a major, like fucking winning a challenge. I'm not even kidding. I know that sounds crazy, but when I like, it's like the bar, it shifts and like all my brain wants is accomplishment. And it doesn't know the freaking difference between accomplishing this. If you put energy into it and tried and it was a challenge and then you finish, your brain's like, sweet, awesome, I did it. Doesn't matter to what intensity.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. The human brain is like programmed to crave autonomy and, you know, self, to be the engine of your own life in whatever way you can. And then goals, like one of the best pieces of advice you gave to me, which I apply all the time, is about comparison and not comparing yourself to your ideal, but to where you were yesterday.
Oh,
I mean, when is that more true than during the healing process?
When is that more true? Oh, you're going to make me cry. Yes, that is so it. I'm like, okay, yesterday I couldn't do this. And you know what my test is? I just want to stand up straight. Like, that's like, we're getting there. I'm a little bit closer to standing up straight to, like, you know.
Well, and some days you do go back.
Yeah.
And then the lesson there is you try again tomorrow. I mean,
yeah,
that it isn't a straight line of trajectory upward. That's life.
Yeah. 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 And it's just okay. Like, okay, we're good. But, and then it's like, what can I do to, there are things I could do. You know, I was thinking of like Jane McGonigal's book and like being able to gamify these kind of things. And like, there are things I could do that are like power boosters.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. I got to cry for a sec.
Okay. You can cry. I mean, if not read that book, it's called Super Better, I think. And she was suffering with her own severe medical challenges and health challenges. Oh. And I truly am amazed by the people that, what they can overcome.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you feel like that too. Well, I'm telling you what I feel like, and Sarah mentioned as part of her recovery routine, and that is a nice cup of Joe or a cup of tea.
Yes.
And thanks to Four Wellness, it tastes even better and is like adding a whole lot of yummy good stuff to our body. And I love that. I got a text yesterday from my sister Gretchen who said, Four Wellness has exceeded all of my expectations, because she was
great.
Like one of these people. It is great, because she was saying like she's one of these people, and I think this is pretty common, where you start like getting all these like creamers and like flavors and almost like the Starbucks effect or something.
Yes. Yeah.
And so she was like, I just got this and now I can just use that and it's good for me.
And I love anything that you can add to something that you're already doing. The cue is already there. And now you're going to get more of a reward for doing it, because you're going to feel good. It's going to give you the energy that you need and like balance out some of the negative side effects.
Yeah. So this is like it's a coffee performance supplement that supercharges the natural benefits of your coffee with a scoop. So you can reduce those caffeine jitters, increase your collagen, support fat burning with the power of the good stuff's 5 key ingredients. And they also have those, what are those bites called?
The little brownie, like power bites.
Super
These are my go-to.
Focus
yeah.
bites. So they, good.
They're so good. They taste like decadent brownies.
Yeah. It's like ooey gooey moist wonderfulness.
And they pass the test where I can put them in my, what the hell do you call that? Pocket when I'm skiing. And even out in the freezing cold temperatures, it still stays moist and gooey and doesn't turn rock hard. So it's passed the test for that.
And they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee, which I always love, because I say, hey, if you don't like it, you can just say, hey, screw you. So if you drink coffee, it's time to give 4 Wellness a try. Head to 4wellness.com/braincandy and use code braincandy for 25% off your order. Once again, that's 4wellness.com/braincandy for 25% off. Make sure you use our promo code braincandy so they know we sent you.
Yeah. And there are things that just like add to those that boost you up. And there are things you could do that, you know, I think about that little like health, like bar when you play video games, or like life bar. That's always like, you know, it goes from like green when it's all the way full to like red when it's empty, and how there are things that you could do that will increase and like boost health. And there are things that you could do that will take away from that. I'm somebody who likes to push myself. When I told the nurse that like I was maybe pushing myself too hard when I'm on the drugs that numb me from all the pain and I was vacuuming, she was like, oh, for God's sake, please don't do that. And that would be something that would drain my health bar. Yeah. And put, like,
right.
That's a minus thing. But then sitting on the couch and resting and completing a page out of my coloring book, that's plus, boosts the health thing up. And so, like, yeah. Having to, that's what's in my control. There's so much that's out of my control, but there is so much that is within it that I can do. Even though that healing process is not linear and life comes at you in, you know, sometimes more, sometimes less. I was thinking about this, like, all right, I feel like I've almost like recovered from the jump over this hurdle that was this life stage and moment in my life. What's the next one? It's almost like we're, you know, constantly in this like video game that there are parts of the level, parts of the, you know, whatever, parts of the game, levels, if you will, that are harder and more challenging. And the, you know, I think about like the little tubes that Mario jumps over, and some of those are high and some of those are low. And this is one where I needed like to get a double running start and then like jump and then fly and like use my one up and like all the tricks, all the things to get over it. But there's going to be another one. And it's like, what's the next one? You know, when we always feel like, oh, okay, oh, I made it. And there is another, there's always one. And it's going to be a little bit lower next time. You know, I think the one that was my last one was Bo passing away. And that's like a hurdle that I had to jump over. And it's like, okay, we're recovering from that. And you know, when you jump over the really big ones, the small ones become like, oh, I fucking got this. So
another piece of advice that Sarah gave, which I also think about a lot, is you hear a lot about being mindful, living in the moment. Oh, yeah. And Sarah goes, yeah, well, sometimes you shouldn't. Like when things are really terrible, you can not do that because
don't do that.
Is helpful to actually just think about when there might be a better day or a previous day that was really great.
Right.
And
yeah,
so you don't always have to freaking do that.
Right. That is for when you are not when you are too caught up in the future and that's negative, or the past and that's negatively impacting you. If being caught up in your present pain is impacting you, then freaking dissociate, go somewhere else. There's like, that is a survival.
Think happy thoughts.
Really? That's totally fine. I can remember when I was little, I used to get really high fevers. And when I did, I would hallucinate and I would have these
like the weirdest person.
Crazy. I know. It does happen to some kids. It hasn't happened as adults, but I think it does show up as like,
fever dreams.
Yes, fever dreams, like that kind of thing, which I have had because I'm having fucking hot flashes. So I'm waking up with nightmares every night. I dreamt that Lucas, my little brother, got swept up by a tornado last night.
Oh my word!
I had to like hold on to the rafter, like the it was crazy. Yeah, just weird dreams. What were we talking about before this? Oh yeah, about thinking positive thoughts. So I mean, I must have been like 7 years old. So my little brother, 6'5", 4", he must have been like 4. Maybe I was 8. He was like a 4-year-old or 5-year-old, and I was telling him like, it's just so scary. The hallucination I had, I would look down at my hands, and all the skin would melt off, and they would be sticks like a snowman, like hands. And that was the hallucination I had when I was a little kid, when I would get these fevers. And my little brother, in his like wisdom of all of 4 years old, said, you need to think about, pretend like you're in the game Candyland. And pretend like you're just jumping around Candyland. And it's like candy and clouds. And so I would like go and just pretend I was in candy. And I always think about how wise that was. Nobody prompted him with that. How did he know to do that? And
it
I
must
can
have
only
been
think
his
it's
happy
because,
place, huh?
It's because he had, when he was probably like a year before, fell off his bike and fractured his femur and was in traction, like was in the hospital for weeks, was in traction where they had to like reset the bone, where attached to all these like it was awful. And he was in a cast for 6 months with a bar between his leg and everything. So he must have learned some coping skills that he didn't even know he learned. and then passed them on as this wise little 5-year-old.
Like, and Sarah's still going there, Candyland.
I'm still going there. I'm still, when I just picture it, like,
I could
and
go
not
for that
the new
right
updated
now.
One where they made all the characters super sexy. What the fuck is up with that? The old one.
I didn't
one.
Know that they did.
Yeah,
that.
They did. They've done that to like cartoons. They did it with everybody. Like Strawberry Shortcake, fucking Miss Frizzle is like hot now. I mean, she was, if you ask me, always a looker. But you know, now, because if you like curly hair, if you like
right,
Natasha
her, like,
Leone, you like her. Yeah, they like sexified her.
Wow, that is rude.
Rude, yeah.
Well, but,
yeah, that's my story of healing and a little bit of, but I've just.
This I think is a process. What, this is not your story. This is like part
oh, no,
of it because
it's
going to continue
yeah.
for a very long time.
Yeah.
I think.
I do feel
mentally,
like I'm like
process.
This wise old sage now. Yeah. Something's
yeah,
happened
yeah.
where
embrace
like I have
the old
this,
lady.
Like, I swear I feel like I have more, like if you think of your emotions as being in this, I don't know, like water tank and there's a spigot, like a little like nozzle that you turn and that we have control over and we can like let them out slowly or we can like let them out all at once. And you know, I think the more emotionally intelligent we are, the more awareness we have, the more control we have over that sense. It's like we can like dial in the sensitivity of that nozzle and decide how much we want to let out or keep in. I feel like I have so much more control over that now. I can't even, that's the only way I could describe it. Cause I can feel the emotions there and I could feel it's like the pressure building behind there. And then I'm like, oh, let's turn it back. Let's dial it back a little bit. Where before it was like, you know, a baby holding a fire hose or like there's no control at all. It's just spraying everywhere. And now it feels like something about getting rid of my ovaries and all the other like hormones may be in there. If like, I feel very even. And like,
well,
this
is what
like
we learned
gift.
Early on in Brain Candy, how the women's true self is before puberty and after menopause. And
I'm
cannot wait.
I feel very wise.
Well, and I was a freaking hoot. I was a delight.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so you're in for a
yeah.
real treat in like 10
real
years,
treat.
Everybody. Just hang
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, yes. And I feel like as long as we can remember, like, let's not confuse wit for like sass and attitude. And it just like, as long as we can recognize that, like, yeah, I think like, I feel like I'm like, funny and chill.
This is Sarah's entering her Golden Girls era.
I love it. This, and I kind of, I'm like, did I get what I've always been asking for? Because I've always joked that like, oh,
totally.
I can't wait to be an old lady. And I'm like, okay, universe,
we need
not
to
quite
stop
what
talking.
I meant. And then as I'm sitting there in the recovery room, staring at my body that kind of looks like a pincushion, now, like I look like a voodoo doll from little spots like that they did the surgery through. And I'm staring at my tattoos and I realize that I have two revolvers, like guns on my hips pointing
yeah, you've
straight
always
at
them.
The old uterus. And
oh,
it was like,
God.
I was already like, go away.
For real.
You're dead to me. Like I was shooting them up. Like, I was already aiming and taking fire somehow, like
that
I don't know.
Really
isn't it strange?
Like prescient. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy.
Like, huh. And I'm not one
to
be like
what
pro gun.
Putting,
so.
Yeah. Right. You've always regretted those ones. You told me that.
Yeah. I was like, well, I was just
oh
mad.
Gosh.
Well, and the thing is the uterus pain, like my first trip to the hospital for this was when I was 15. And so that came before wow. the tattoos. So maybe I was already mad at them.
Yeah, your body like, kind of knows. Like
it was like, nah. Yeah.
Wow. But, that's kind of bonkers.
Yeah. So who
well,
knows what
during this process
I be like.
I've been sort of impotent. I mean, you can't do much from the Pittsburgh in
yeah,
terms of
you
helping.
Have been. Yes, you
and,
can.
Wow.
You sent
you know.
Me very fun things. And Eli said, wow, Sarah, you're going to do something that I've never done in my whole life. And I said, what's that? And he goes, finish an entire cake.
Oh my
and
God.
Susie sent me the best tuxedo cake. Like from
shout out to Costco.
Oh my God. I had a Costco size. That's I could have gone without knowing bottom. It was from Costco. It wasn't round. It was
there's
like
only
long.
So many options.
Yeah. It was a long one, but I cut it up into like servings, and then I put them in my like to-go containers, and I had them all stashed out, and I would have a morning piece, like a little slice, because each container would fit two little slices, and it was like I'd have a morning piece and afternoon piece. And look, you don't have a lot to look forward to in this, but I was like, okay, right after when the meds wear off, right before when I take my new dose, then we go and we have morning cake and afternoon cake.
Oh my
gosh. And I'm fucking fine with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
No regrets. I'm giving myself the freedom to like, what does my body want right now? Whatever the fuck
yeah,
I want
to
give it.
You don't have to justify yourself to me. I'm the one that sent it.
It is great. It's the best. So yeah, you did that and you got me flowers and she got me a Nerf gun blaster. Don't think I haven't been using all those.
Well, if I were there, I would have busted out the caraway bakeware and gone ahead and made you a cake. I wish I could have done that because everybody knows, you know, homemade is even more special. So caraway would have been the only way to do it because it's non-toxic. We got to keep you safe and does the best job at making all my cooking and baking. I freaking love this stuff. I DM people about it because they kind of, you know, like in our lives, they kind of tease me about how I won't shut up about caraway. And
well, I get it now because I got the frying pan. Like I always had the Dutch oven, but Dutch oven is like, you don't really realize how nonstick it is when you're cooking soup, you know?
True. True.
I have video evidence of these eggs.
Yeah. So
it's like, what like an
lying.
Infomercial I'm doing. And
it's
I can like move
an
the
infomercial.
Pan.
It is.
It is fun. And I've had many conversations and now this is, it's the only pan Eli is using. That's it. It just stays out now. Cause that's
and
it.
They're adorable.
I say Eli cause I'm not cooking. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can pick any color. They're so cute. Visit carawayhome.com/braincandy to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive to our listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/braincandy or use code braincandy at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern.
I used our code.
I'm so glad. Thank you for supporting the show, Sarah.
I did. I supported our show. And they said, where did you hear about this? Oh, the Brain Candy.
I'm glad you asked. Yes. Well, do you mind if I just mention something or do you want to share more about
Please. No, I got, I'm good.
I was just going to say that
people are like,
I mentioned to
I've heard enough about your insides.
No, I never.
Oh, one
I
more, one question though.
Yeah.
Is it gross or informative / interesting to post the pictures of what it actually looked like?
Both.
Both. Okay.
I mean,
just
it is
like fair
some
warning.
People
I'll put it on close friends.
It's so fun.
It is fun,
I don't
right?
find that
and then
stuff
like the
gross,
before and after, it's freaking empty in there.
I didn't see the after.
My bladder is just,
I don't think I did.
The after is the one that looks like a horror film.
Wait, maybe
like
I did. I just didn't know it was after.
The stitches.
You'll have to send them again and like tell me which is which.
And that bladder is just like by itself, nothing in there, just hanging out. Imagine how lonely.
I mean, that is sad.
All your friends just leave. Cervix, gone.
Oh.
Uterus gone, ovaries gone, fallopian tubes gone.
Maybe it's like, thank God,
like
I needed some space in here.
Yeah,
it's
maybe like
stretching
those guys
out.
Were really, really cramping our style. Yeah,
yeah, like enough. They got all the attention.
Yes,
I mean, you did say like sometimes you forget to pee and stuff. So maybe now it's
I also know why my urethra was attached to the side of the wall of my uterus, whatever, and they had to scrape that off and like reattach it. Now I pee different. So there's
Sarah used the term
thing. Like better.
Previously, untangle.
Yeah.
They untangled,
like it.
Her urethra.
Because they use that word with me.
Right. So like evocative. It really painted the picture.
And she's like, because I'm like, it's kind of like sore, you know, but not like Bernie. Like just like a sore when I go to the bathroom. She's like, let me look at your notes. Oh, yeah, that's because of all this, and that makes sense.
Oh my God. Like I said, you've been through a lot.
Yeah.
I mentioned, though, in text that while during the break, you know, I'm just like sitting over here waiting for you to come back because I'm lost without you. But I watched the Max documentary called David Holmes, The Boy Who Lived, about the Harry Potter stunt man who got injured on set.
Yeah.
And it was probably good timing to watch it because you know, anytime you're reminded about what can happen, you know, when you get injured or go through surgery or whatever, and how every day is almost like a battle. And, you know, just like if by the time you go to bed, you're just like, what? I've been through so much. And it's just like one day, you know?
How about just going to the bathroom?
Right. Right. Just
that
every
looks
hour.
That's exhausting. And then you're going to have to like have normal expectations of being a human on top of that.
Yeah.
That's
but
tough.
That's why when people handle it with grace, it's so remarkable, which is how he was. And, you know, certain people, everyone has different personalities and handles things in different ways, but he happened, probably why he became a stuntman. He was just like, loves a challenge. Right. He's probably one of these like free solo type of guys that needs adrenaline.
Yep.
And isn't scared or whatever. And so that can really lend itself if you're in a difficult situation. It was very inspiring.
I think about that for the BMX riders and the people who get injured with spinal cord injury, like skiers and stuff. It's like the kind of personality type that was sending it, doing a double backflip off of that, and like knows that the other things are going to be a challenge and that you can fall down and get back up. And
right,
you know,
and maybe at least even if they're not,
but
like even if it's challenging, that they're sort of they've learned, the skills, the tools, whatever.
Resilience.
It's excellent.
And grit.
And I don't know. There's also that element in the film because he's the stunt double for Harry Potter for, what's that guy's name? What's his name?
Let's play this game.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter?
Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah. So he's like the stand in. And so then he injures himself and is now paralyzed. And so imagine how that feels if you're the guy that he was like standing in for, right?
So,
and like they did 10 years together. And so you become like brothers or whatever. It's very moving and inspiring. And he's just like a hoot, like he's a doll.
I mean, if you think about that, like a stunt double's job is to be trained to do the maneuvers and the moves that are beyond the skills of what an actor would have. And you have like, that is,
there's an inherent risk.
Yes. There is an inherent, if your job is doing risky things because it would be really dangerous for somebody else, it goes to say that it's going to be a really dangerous thing for you to do and things could go wrong. You know,
I think it takes
not
tremendous
stand-in accountant.
Right. I was impressed though, because in his case, the reason for his injury was that somebody or some people made an error and it wasn't him. And
it's a team.
And there were choices that were made that were mistakes, and like how impressive it is to go through that and to lose everything basically and to not feel bitterness.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it would be so easy
it would be so easy.
Yeah.
It really shows like what there was probably really great team that worked together and were really like close. Cause it would be easy to want to blame someone or something in that. I know I would. Oh
and
my God. If I got
to.
Injured on the challenge like that, everybody's fucking TJ's.
Everyone's going down.
My finger. Everyone's going down.
Right. Well, and his mom felt like that. And I would feel like that if it were my son too.
Oh yeah.
And as soon as he said, no, we're not doing that. Then she, like it was like a burden.
Good.
It was really good. And not maybe right now, but someday you might enjoy it.
I definitely will. You know, it sounds so similar as far as like the overall message to that documentary that I was telling you about, Full Circle, about the spinal cord injury with the skiers and the meaning that they found through that. And it's really like your mindset of what you believe a life with an injury or a disability would bring you. And I think in some people's mind, it's like, oh no, struggle and hardship and pain. When a lot of the people that I've seen, and it sounds like in this documentary you watched and in the one I watched, that it brings them connection and moments of heroism and strength and
like redemption.
Redemption. Oh my God, redemption. Did you see the Full Circle documentary?
Not yet. It's on my
Susie.
List.
Susie! Oh, the redemption in that. And the I'll cry. Yeah, it's so good. I have to see it. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Well, and so here's the thing. Like, they aren't going to make a documentary about some piece of shit that's like pissed and bitter and
right.
blaming people, right? So like during those times of difficulty, it does come in handy to be like, who do I want to be like? Do right. I want to be like these people that they make films about? You know, yes. be the hero of your own story kind yes. of deal. Because yep. I understand why people are bitter, but nobody's going to make a documentary about you.
Right. I feel like the people, I don't want to generalize, this is not everybody who's had this kind of situation, but the kind of people who dive headfirst into shallow water and get the spine injury, or we're doing like at the frat party and we're doing the jumping off of a high thing into the pool when everybody cheers, maybe looking a little bit more like ego driven, like, I don't know.
That seems boats. Like the,
yeah, a harder, because you can't do the things to, it's not about like, when it's a BMX rider or a skier, somebody like that, who's like, it wouldn't matter if they were competing or not competing. They're going to try to hit that jump and get that trick until like 1,000 times. It doesn't matter if they have 1,000 people staring at them and they're on TV, or if they're just like by themselves and doing it for them. It's for them, you know? And I think that there's a different mindset when it's like, oh, I want people to think
don't
I'm
you
cool.
think
I don't know.
Things like this tend to like, it's like fame, right? It just magnifies what's already there kind of deal.
Yeah. Oh, very good point. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Sometimes. Totally. I mean, not all the time, I suppose, but.
Yeah. Yeah. This is in healing, in the recovery process is where being really optimistic has been beneficial, but not in the lead up to it.
Right.
Should have been
might
a little more pessimistic.
Maybe teeters on the brink of denial.
Right. It was
something.
Denial before.
Yeah. It's a fine line.
Right.
I'll tell you what I'm optimistic about, and that is my finances. But that's thanks to Rocket Money, because these guys and gals, they taught me how to get in there, have a look at my money, see what I'm spending it on, see what I'm earning, and then it's empowering, right? And they say, hey, Suze, maybe you don't need 50 streaming subscriptions.
Right. I subscribe to a lot when I was just
right,
sitting
maybe
on the
Sarah
couch.
Does.
Yes. Yeah, so next month I have a whole bunch that it's like, I need to go. I know exactly what section on the app to go to where it has all the subscription listed, and I can be like, cancel, please. And I don't have to do anything. They're going to do it all for me, and they're going to do it all for you guys. And it's great.
That's
what
right.
are you waiting for?
Yeah. They monitor what goes out and what subscriptions you have. And like it or not, this is the age of subscriptions, and things are automated and it's easy to forget. So might as well use this service to keep you in the know. It's a personal finance app, cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, helps lower your bills, has over 5 million users, saved its members an average of $720 a year. Who couldn't use $720? Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/braincandy. I love it. I use it every day. It's part of my routine. I love it. Okay.
Same.
Any hoodles. So I would recommend The Boy Who Lived. Very cute. Even if you just like Harry Potter, it's so fun to see all the behind the scenes stuff and all the whatever.
Just this Christmas, I watched them all, and I had never seen all the Harry Potters before. It was so good. I'd only seen up to like number 2 or 3. They were so good. I totally get the hype.
They are excellent. Lincoln told me though that a lot of what's in the films, which is so funny because he and I read the books together.
Yeah.
And watched the films, but I didn't really notice how there were differences. And he said that like the movies divert from the plot and stuff. I didn't know that.
Here's what I did. The order I did it in. I read like the first two books or three books. Saw the first one or two movies. Then I went to Universal Studios and went on the Harry Potter ride. And then I saw the final Harry Potters. And I was like, oh, I can see that they needed a scene that they could turn into a ride. And this feels from a production standpoint that this was added and made elaborate because it felt similar to the vibe of the ride. It felt familiar as somebody who had been on the ride, then seen the movie. I could see why. And I could see like, you know, also having parents in the film industry and knowing like why they do this, the stuff they do. It's all about like, how do you get more people to buy more stuff and go to the theme park? It's all that. Come on. And it felt very like manufactured for, it had a purpose. It was.
Yeah. There was a goal there.
And it wasn't for developing the plot of the book.
You have such a storied relationship to Universal.
I kind of do. I love it. I think it's great, but I'm like, I see what you're doing. When they're pitching themselves as it's like Universal like that's the whole thing. It's like behind the scenes movie thing, but it's not really behind the scenes. Like as somebody who's been behind the scenes, like I've been behind the scenes at that scene that people think they're behind the scenes at, you know? And I'm like, okay. Right. I see you.
Yeah, she's not falling for that.
Universal Studio backlot tour. I don't know. It's silly. I like it, but I'm like, this is not what it's like, sort of.
Sarah should open a theme park where she gives like the behind the scenes of Universal and debunks all their stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just mad because of Backdraft. I'm still just bitter. It's the Backdraft thing. It's like I'm not over it. And like, they're just trying to, you know, give people a nice experience.
Yeah, they didn't have to do that, but you'll never forgive them for that.
I'll never forgive
them. PTSD. Okay. I learned this fun fact today. Let me see if I can find it. So a recent study determined that it turns out moths don't actually like flames.
What?
Moths are not drawn to flames.
Oh, no, I heard you. Is it? But
you're,
like a moth
like
to the light.
You're like disillusioned.
Yeah. Like, but I have, is it? Hang on.
Serious? Take your time.
Is there something about the sound that the light creates or like that? No, it's got to emit something. How come when I have a light, but like in Costa Rica, when you turn on that outdoor light, all the bugs go there. And if you flip on another one, they'll go to the other
one. I really enjoy this Sarah, whoever this is, like whatever vibe this is, I like it.
This is still on the painkillers, but not on the narcotic painkillers. So I think that they don't do anything, but I don't know.
Yeah.
This is sober, well, Sarah, is it?
Yes. Okay. Well, here's the deal. You know, we've been believing this for quite a while. So this is a real switcheroo by science, but apparently they say that moths and a lot of other insects that fly at night evolved to tilt their backs to whatever is brightest. And for hundreds of millions of years, that was the sky, not the ground, because of stars, you know?
Yeah.
And so the trick
told backs. Okay.
Yeah. So the trick told insects which way was up and ensured that they flew level. And then we created artificial lighting.
Oh, another fine.
And so now all the
place.
Sources of illumination were down below. And so they found themselves tilting their backs to like street lamps.
Right.
And it sent them into this endless loop around the lamps where the insects are trapped by their evolutionary instincts.
My God, that gives me the heebie-jeebies in a But
I feel bad for them.
I get that. I understand what you're saying in that. It's kind of like when the ants get stuck with the pheromones in that loop and they go in a circle over and over and over because of what they're like biologically coded to do, like designed to do. Okay. So they're tilting their, and they're stuck in a circle because of that. And that's it.
I feel so bad for them. And it's almost like, you know how we use that phrase all the time about like just attraction, like a moth to a flame. And really it adds this like dark,
it does. And now I'm like, actually,
it's more accurate.
Cause it is more accurate.
Despite
you're like
your
trapped.
Own best interest, you keep going back to this stupid thing that is not the sky.
And then imagine like, I want to get out of it. Ah,
I know.
Like, you see daytime like, to come. Huh?
They're not drawn to it. They were flying by anyway. They were just passing by and then they're like, whoa.
Oh my God. Okay.
So
there, like I can't wait to find out what we're going to discover that feature. Like, how does that, you know, like the mantis shrimp's eyes have the thing that we can then inject and view it like lights up cancer cells, like UV light, and you can like remove them down to the freaking cell.
Yeah,
I feel like whatever evolutionary like component, whatever is driving that thing with the moth and like that balance and being able to look, there's like flight that has got to translate into something we could use for NASA.
Okay, I like the optimism because so far it's just been killing insects.
Well, yeah.
I mean, their loss is our gain.
Yeah. And I feel like those guys have been like animals that have been around for a fuck ton of years, like so like any of them, I feel like would take longer to evolve in a way. Or do you think it's the opposite? Like longer to, adapt.
I can see that.
They've almost adapted so much. It's kind of like everything becomes a crab kind of thing that if you keep adapting, you just become like a crab.
Is that true?
Yes. We totally talked about this in a past episode. It's called the carcinification of a species. Like if it's like the most, and everything kind of just ends up looking like that. Like even like alligator skin is like this crab shell or something, like, you know, in a weird way.
I mean,
like
I'm that, crab like, bee. So, it's got to be related.
He's got to be. I mean,
it seems like that just
adds
up.
So maybe bugs have just like evolved so much that it's going to take them a long time to adapt to what's relatively a new invention, which is artificial light like we have. I mean,
fire.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did seem all this time like they just loved it. They couldn't get enough of that porch light.
And then see all like the cartoons, you know, I think about like A Bug's Life and those kind of cartoons where they've even used that in the cartoon as like, and they're like, don't go towards the flame or don't go towards the light. And then we've in the same way Disney did that with ostriches sticking their head in the sand. And then science came along and was like, excuse me, they don't really do that.
Yeah.
And we kind of are doing the same thing with moths.
Yeah, poor guys. I mean,
poor guys. They're just stuck.
It does like, make me like want to turn the lights out.
Yeah. 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 We need to just give them their, let them go. Let them live. Imagine you're just like driving along and you come up to one of those roundabouts and then you just get stuck in it. You can't even get to grandma's house because you're stuck in the fucking roundabout for forever. He's late wherever he's going. Sad. Maybe this is why we're having a problem with the pollination of all of the things.
Right. What if it turns out it was all Edison's fault?
I'm sure it's all related. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it's all bad news. So
yeah,
you're welcome, everybody.
Yep.
Let's wind it down. Sarah's been through enough. She really hung in there. I mean, three cheers. Let me see.
Gosh.
Do I have any, like,
thank
I need
you.
A clapping button on our sound. Adam said noted.
I'll clap for myself.
Yay. Cheering and stuff. Because I really, it's not easy to, do what we do. I mean, and also three cheers for Kelly for hanging in there because.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to that episode.
We make it look easy, Sarah, but like, you know, it's not easy doing what we do. And
I guess so.
For real. I always think about that. Like whenever I imagine bringing in a guest co-host, how it's like, we think it's like no big whoop because we're used to it. But these poor people are probably like,
it's very scary. So, I know. We've done it thousands of hours. So, yes, thank you to our fill-in hosts. I am so grateful because I could not have done that. It would have been a very different episode with me on painkillers.
I mean, you really did miss a humdinger of a story about a new spa where they all wear diapers. But, I mean...
I can't wait to listen. I already have it saved. I'm listening to it. I will. Come on. I love Kelly. It's going to be great.
Yeah. They're buddies too. Okay. So Sarah's recovering. We're so glad she's back. And yes,
the Brain Candy Brainiacs. Thank you guys all so much.
Thank you.
I will individually be thanking each and every one of you who participated in making me feel so much better with that Get Better box.
Yeah. And who knew? Biscuits and gravy. I mean, welcome to your Southern Lady era.
Yeah. Yes.
And... thank you to Jane McGonigal, who is an inspiration, as always, with her gamification.
Helping me cope. Yep.
And we're just going to be old ladies together, and that's pretty great.
Love it. Here we are.
We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye.